morning, we're going to be, as Corey mentioned, we're going to be continuing the series that we've been in the last little while called Written in Red, looking at the words, the teachings of Jesus. This past week, on Friday actually, I needed a haircut, so I went and found a barber here in Okotoks. Again, we gotta, you know, as we're moving here, we gotta, you know, find all these things, dentists, barbers, you know, all that fun stuff of moving. But I found a barber and went and got my haircut on Friday. And there is one question that I am just dying for a barber to ask me at some point. To give a little bit of context, Martin Luther, in the 16th century, he had a barber, and one day his barber asked him, you know, knowing that he was a true man of God, his barber asked him, "How should I pray?" And Luther tells him, "Pray the Lord's Prayer." And he gives him some other advice as well, but I love the simplicity of this response. And so I'm just dying for a barber one day to ask me, "How should I pray?" And I can respond like Luther did. We're going to spend some time this morning, though, in the Lord's Prayer. And as we get started, as we get into this, I have a question. How's your prayer life right now? How are you feeling about prayer? Are you feeling stuck at all? Are you feeling like, you know, your prayer life just isn't quite what you want it to be? I don't think any of us should ever, you know, hit a point where we're totally content with our prayer life. I think we should always want more. But how are you feeling about prayer this morning? And if you're feeling really stuck in prayer today, really frustrated maybe about prayer, not really sure what to do. Maybe you're new to faith, and you know, people told you to pray, but they never really explained what the heck that actually means. Maybe, you know, this is going to be the passage for you this morning, and I'll just encourage you to press in as we look at the Lord's Prayer, at how Jesus teaches us to pray. And so thank you to Tricia for reading this passage earlier. And I'm just going to reread the first verse here. So if you have a Bible this morning, you can join us. We're in Luke 11. And so feel free to flip over to that. It's Luke chapter 11. We're going to be starting in verse 1. So it says this. He, Jesus, was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." He said to them, "Whenever you pray, say." I wonder what the disciples were hoping for as they asked Jesus this question, as they asked him to teach them how to pray. It's interesting because this is actually the only time in any of the gospel accounts where the disciples ask Jesus to teach them something. Jesus taught a lot of things, right? This whole series that we're in is all about the teachings of Jesus, the things that he taught his followers. But this is the only time in any of the gospel accounts where it's recorded that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them something. This is part of the reason why I love Luke's version of this story, of this prayer, because this is the context, this is where it's situated. In Matthew's gospel, it's situated in the Sermon on the Mount, which is a, you know, pretty natural place for teaching on prayer to be in this block of teaching. But in Luke's gospel, we see it in response to a request from the disciples. They want Jesus to teach them how to pray. And you know, maybe they were feeling a little bit stuck in prayer. Maybe they wanted a cool formula for prayer, something, you know, beautiful and eloquent from the mouth of their beloved teacher. You know, just as John the Baptist was teaching his disciples how to pray. But I wonder exactly what what they were hoping for as they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. And so you may have noticed as Trisha was reading this earlier that this version of the Lord's Prayer is a little shorter than what you might be used to. If you know this prayer, you might be used to Matthew's version, which is a little bit longer, and Luke's version is missing some lines. And now this is there's kind of a deep rabbit hole we could go into here, but I think to sort of make the important points somewhat simple. We have good evidence to believe that this prayer, though it appears in a couple different forms, we have good evidence to believe that this is a prayer that was original to Jesus. Jesus taught his disciples this prayer. Now, these gospel accounts, these are eyewitness accounts. So and we have multiple instances where the different gospel writers record things slightly differently. These were eyewitness accounts, and the process of recording history in the ancient world is a little bit different than kind of the neat and tidy sort of picture that we have in our modern understanding. And so just because there's these different versions of this prayer doesn't mean that these things didn't happen. A prayer like this likely was taught on multiple occasions. And so we have the gospel writers, as we look at Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we see how they emphasize different things. And we also see instances where perhaps they were just drawing on different times that Jesus taught the same thing. So in Luke's gospel, we have this version of the Lord's Prayer that is a little shorter, but I think it actually helps us. The simplicity of it, I think, actually helps us to focus on the structure of this prayer, to focus on the different petitions, the different requests, the things that Jesus is telling us to pray for. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to kind of break this down. We're going to look at these different petitions, these things that we're told to pray for. And in this, we gain a structure for prayer. And we gain a prayer that we should actually be praying consistently. When Jesus introduces this, he says, whenever you pray, say this. This is something that we should be praying consistently. This should form our prayer life. This should form our pattern of prayer. The other thing that I really like about Luke's account here is we get this right after Jesus is praying. So Jesus is praying, and then right after this, the disciples come to him and they ask him to teach them how to pray. And I love that. It's out of Jesus' own practice of prayer that he is teaching his disciples how to pray. So let's get into this. Let's break down the structure of this prayer. So the first thing that we get before we get into the petitions is we get the address. Who are we praying to? Father. That's the address here. We're praying to our loving Father. And in a lot of ways, God's fatherliness, his authority, but also his love for us, his children, in a lot of ways, this frames the content of this prayer. We need to first let this soak into our hearts. Who is it that we are praying to? We are praying to our loving Father. You know, we might know this prayer as the Lord's Prayer. That's a common title for this, but it also has another title that's simply Our Father. This is the Our Father prayer. And I kind of like that because, again, this is a central theme to this prayer. We are praying to our Father who loves us, who cares for us, who knows us, who wants a relationship with us. We're not praying to some vindictive God who's going to evaluate our prayers based on how many good deeds we did that week. No, this is our loving Father who just wants to, he wants to draw us in. He wants relationship with us. So that's where we begin. And then we get into the first petition. And I'm actually going to kind of lump the first two petitions together as kind of petition 1A and 1B because they're very connected. So petition 1A is your name be honored as holy, or hallowed be your name, might be, you know, the translation that that you have. So as we start off this prayer, as we get into the things that we are going to ask God for, we humble ourselves. We come before God and you know, sometimes we're eager to get into our requests. We're eager to get into the things that we want God to do in our life. We're eager to get into, you know, our need for forgiveness. But before we do that, we humble ourselves. We say, God, your name be honored as holy in my heart and in the world. In our own hearts, we need to have reverence for God. And it can be easy for this to slip away, for us to get distracted, for us to start caring about other things more than we care about God. You know, maybe we hit a point where all of a sudden we're like, yeah, I think I'm caring more about work or about what other people think of me than I am about God. His name is not being honored as holy in my heart. So as we pray this, it's a recognition that there is no other name like our Lord. There is no God like our Lord. He is the only one who can fill that void inside of us. And he's the only one that we can cling to when everything else falls away. We also pray that God's name would be honored as holy in the world. May it be untainted. May it be untainted by blasphemy. May it be unmarred by the worship of idols. We're praying that God would be known as holy in our world. And again, there is no one like our Lord. That's what we're recognizing here. That's what we are reminding ourselves as we pray this. There is no one like our Lord. All we know as we look around is brokenness. There is nothing in our world here that is untainted by sin. It's all we know, and yet our Father remains holy. He is holiness, so radically separate from the sinful reality that we live in, and yet willing to intervene, willing to draw us close. So that is our prayer with this first petition. May his name be honored as holy in our hearts and in the world. Then we get to petition 1B, your kingdom come. Now, as Jesus says this, as he teaches his disciples to pray this, this is not a new concept for them. They wouldn't have been looking at him and being like, what the heck are you talking about? Like, what is this kingdom? We don't understand. Jesus had been, he'd already been talking about the kingdom already in Luke's gospel, but this is a long-held hope of the Jewish people. This was a prayer that they were praying already, that God's rule would come. They were tired of living under oppressive rulers, tired of being in exile, which was their fault. But they were tired of this, and they were longing for God to be the one calling the shots,
not Nebuchadnezzar, not Caesar Augustus, for the Lord to be the one whose rule was made manifest here on earth. And we too can relate to this desire. This is still a pertinent desire for us today. We see the failure of human leaders and we think, God, just step in. And God uses human leaders. God works through us as humans. So as we pray this prayer, it is a recognition, a desire for God to work through human leaders and for us to be open to the ways that he is working in the world. But it's also a desire for his rule and reign to come fully, because we are still just human and we are broken and we need God's kingdom, his reign to come fully, for everything to be set right. This first pair of petitions here is, we pray them in an immediate sense, right? We pray, Father, your name be honored as holy right now. May people know that you are the one true God. May your kingdom come in the here and now. May the light break through the darkness in small ways. May we see how you are working. At great cost to our own plans and agendas, we pray that God's will would be done, that his reign would be made manifest. But we also pray this with a future sense, with a look to when God's reign will come fully, when every knee shall bow and tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. And it's on that day that God's kingdom is here in full, and everything is going to be set right and redeemed and restored. So as we pray these first two petitions, there's an immediate sense in which we pray them, and there's a future sense. So then we get to petition two. Give us each day our daily bread. Our loving Father, remember this frames the prayer, our loving Father, he knows what we need. You know, I think a beautiful picture of this is the Israelites wandering in the wilderness, hungry, not sure where they are going to get food from, and they cry out to God, and he provides bread from heaven. Our loving Father knows what we need. So as we pray this petition, as we ask God for our daily bread, it's a request for our daily sustenance, for him to provide for us in mundane ways. You know, sometimes the provision of the Lord is an abundant feast. And you know, I've had seasons like that where it's just, you know, it feels like God is just providing in so many amazing ways, and it's just this abundant feast from the Lord. And then other times, you know, it feels like I cry out to God and he gives me just enough to keep going. Just a little bit of bread to satisfy my hunger and keep pressing on. And that's the prayer here, is that God will give us what we need. Not every day is going to be abundant feasts, but our Father loves us and he will provide for us. He will sustain us. He won't let us starve. My dad is no cook, and he's actually here this morning, and he wouldn't mind me saying this. He's no cook, so when my mom would be, you know, out for the evening, my dad had some specialties that he would make for my brother and I. You know, there was Kraft dinner and hot dogs was a classic that's always good. There was wiener wraps, which is hot dogs wrapped in dough, and then there's some cheese in there. It's amazing. Ordering pizza is another classic. So my dad's no cook. Again, he would admit that. But just because my mom was out of the house, it didn't mean that he was just going to let us starve. Again, there was no gourmet meals coming, but he wasn't going to let us starve because he loves us. He cares for my brother and I, and he wasn't going to just let us starve. As we pray to our loving Father, we pray knowing that he will provide for us, that he wants to provide for us. Again, not every day is going to be abundant feasts, but he's not going to let us go hungry. I'm not going to read it, but the next section that comes right after the Lord's Prayer here talks about how a father provides for his children. And it gives us this, it reinforces what Jesus is communicating to us here, in that these aren't just petitions that, you know, it's like, okay, go pray these things, you know, maybe God will do them for you. I don't know, just ask and find out. No, these are things that the Father will grant for us as we come humbly before him. God won't give you a Lamborghini just because you ask, but these things he will do for us. He will give us our daily bread, our daily sustenance. Then we get into petition number 3. It says this, and forgive us our sins. You know, we can't forget this one. We can't let this one just kind of fall by the wayside in our prayer life. And for me, like, I'm guilty of that. I think that this is one that I can forget. I can, you know, get really kind of fixated on the other petitions, asking for my daily bread, asking for, you know, the things that I want to see God do. But we can't forget to come humbly before our Father and confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. And again, like the prayer for our daily bread, this is a request that God will grant as we come humbly before him. It can be really easy for us to get sucked in to the darkness. We're all broken people. We live in a broken world, and we can get sucked in to the darkness. We can start coddling some sins that we just really don't want to let go. And all of a sudden, they just suck us deeper and deeper into the darkness. And so praying this petition is getting us out into the light. It brings us to the throne room of God as we come before him and we say, Father, forgive us our sins. We need this. We need to be doing this. And there's an addition to the petition. Say that 4 times fast. There's an addition to this petition as well. It says, Father, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us. Whew. Can we pray this? We gotta think about that a little bit. How can we be forgiven so great a debt and then not forgive the petty debt of a neighbor? We don't have a leg to stand on when it comes to holding petty grudges against people. Our loving Father, who is holy, who is above all, has forgiven our rebellion. And forgiveness is tricky. I think we can recognize that it can be a tricky thing. And there are times where people will do evil things to us that make it impossible for there to be reconciliation to that relationship. And I recognize that. But the heart of this prayer is, God, you have lavished upon us endless love and grace. And we cannot just soak that in without letting it overflow into our relationships with others. We are blessed to be a blessing. And that is the heart of that prayer. So then we get to our final petition number 4. And do not bring us into temptation. Now, this can be a bit of a confusing one. This can be a little bit, it can be a little bit hard to sort of understand what this means, what's going on with this verse. And I think the word temptation can kind of throw us off a little bit. But, you know, this can also mean trial, testing. And these will come in life. I don't know if you've noticed that, but there are times of testing that will come. I think we all recognize that, and you know those can be spiritual. So in that sense of temptation, it can be emotional. It can be physical. What we're praying for here is deliverance from the pressure that threatens to crush us. We're not praying here. We don't pray this and then automatically just nothing bad is ever going to happen to us. That's not the heart of this prayer. Rather, it's a recognition that we are weak creatures. And without help from the sovereign hand of God, we are going to find ourselves deep in the pit of testing and trial, and it will surely break us. We cannot navigate this world on our own. We need God's help, and that's the prayer here. It continues this humble attitude that has, you know, been the case throughout these petitions. It continues this humble attitude, and it's saying, God, we need your help. We can't do this on our own. We will be crushed by the pressure of these trials and temptations. We need you to help us. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. And so that is the Lord's Prayer, at least as we find it here in Luke's gospel. And as we go into our week, let this be our pattern of prayer. Let this form our prayer life. My advice to you, if you're open to it, is especially if you're in a place right now where you're struggling with prayer, you're not feeling super confident about your prayer time and what it is that you're supposed to do as you come before God, take this prayer. We actually have some postcards of the Lord's Prayer, the full version as it's found in Matthew, and take this prayer and pray it line by line in your quiet time this week. And you know what we can also do is we can take this prayer and we can pray each line, and we can expand on each line in our own words. So we can pray it, we can take a pause, and we can kind of put our own words into each petition. But this is a powerful prayer. And so I'd say, you know, even if you're feeling great about your prayer life, this is something that should form our pattern of prayer. And so maybe you want to grab one of the postcards as well and just have this prayer be something that you're praying through consistently. It's that good. It never gets old. And you know, if I may speak to the Christians in the room, maybe, you know, for some of you, you're very familiar with this prayer. Maybe you've had this prayer memorized for 50 years. Maybe you grew up praying this in school. Let's not pray this mindlessly. You know, I think that can happen sometimes with some of these things that we get used to, we get accustomed to. We know the Lord's Prayer. But this is such a rich prayer. And so as we pray it, let's do it thoughtfully. Again, thinking about what each line means. This is the prayer that Jesus teaches us to pray. And there is some real significance to that. And so as we go into this week, as we spend time with the Lord in prayer, let us pray as Jesus taught us to. And on that note, let's pray. Father, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves also forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not bring us into temptation. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here today, and we come before you humbly with these petitions that you teach us to pray, and we just thank you that you answer these prayers, God. You provide for us. You love us. And we just pray that, you just go with us, go before us this week. And we just pray that, we'd be able to take this prayer and just make it a part of our patterns and routines. And just we thank you for the opportunity that we have to spend time in prayer with you, God, and we just thank you for this prayer that you teach us to pray, and we just pray that this would sink into our hearts today. Amen.